During this season of Advent, we share each Sunday morning an Advent prophecy and light an additional candle on our Advent wreath. And this morning, Susan, if you will please come and share the reading.
Today I'll be reading from Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11. This is the word of the Lord. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her, that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice said, cry out! And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them to his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young.
And if you brought your sword with you, which is always a very good idea, we invite you to open it to the Gospel of St. Luke. If not, you're always welcome to use the Bible that is in front of you. We suggest you not write in it. That's one of the advantages of having your own Bible. You can mark in it, underline it, make notes, whatever. We come now this Sunday to the second of the Advent weeks, and each of these weeks carries us a little farther along in our journey toward the celebration of the coming to earth of our Lord Jesus. And I've noticed over the years that as we come to these 4 weeks, we are actually telling and retelling and retelling what I like to call the same old story. And in a world that lives on news bites that are only a few moments long, I suppose for some it seems a little strange that every year Christian people revisit again and again and again and again the same stories, the same scriptures, the same portions of the Bible that we've read before. But there's a powerful, powerful principle that's at work. I often refer to the stuff that comes on the television or the radio or the newspaper or wherever as the bad news, because there is so much, especially leading stories, of negative, hurtful, harmful situations that it is almost depressing. And if you didn't know that there was another story, if you didn't know that there was good news to put alongside the bad news, I'm not sure how you would navigate the daily conversations and word that is passed out. So the old story that does not change, that is the good news, the word gospel, the actual original Greek word is euangelion, E-U-A-N-G-E-L-L-I-O-N. Those are the English letters. And in the middle of the Greek word euangelion is the word angel. I don't know if you've ever known that or thought about that, but the good news, the gospel, is the news that was brought by the angels to the earth and to the people of God. And so the gospel, the good news. We began last Sunday morning by looking at an event that took place 400 years before the proclamation of the birth of Jesus, that being the prophetic word from Malachi about one who would come in the power of Almighty God and in the likeness of the prophet Elijah. Of course, we know him from the New Testament as John the Baptist. And so today I want to continue that narrative under the theme, Message of Advent, that today we will look at the message of Advent from the viewpoint of the message of hope. I don't know if there's been a time, I don't know in my lifetime, that there's ever been a time when a message of hope was more crucial than it is today. There have been dark times. Most of us have lived through World War II and other horrible events. But right now, the condition of the entire world is swirling in so much that is evil and frightening and deadly. Heard this week a story that really touched my heart of a nanny who was taking twin boys, 10 months old, for a walk in an upscale park in San Francisco. And while playing there, one of the twins became involved in a pile of leaves, which kids will often gravitate toward, and somehow or another ingested a fentanyl pill. That pill is deadly. But the nanny was swift to call 911, and they were there almost immediately and brought a drug that reversed the deadly power of the fentanyl. The other twin was untouched. But my oldest granddaughter is a nanny, and I could only imagine her taking a couple of children to a Minneapolis park on maybe a beautiful day, and as children do, playing and off among whatever, and somehow or another ingesting deadly poison. It must have been devastating for the nanny in that situation, but bless the Lord, she had the presence of mind to call 911, and the father got dispatched almost immediately the rescue to that child. What a world we occupy these days. But the good news, the euangelion of Almighty God, is there is hope. There is hope not because the world's going to get better. There is hope not because some new person is going to arise as a leader or a president or a prime minister or a whatever. The hope and the good news is because of the unchanging love, promise, and power of Father God. And so I want to continue the narrative with you today in the first chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, where beginning with verse 5, we read the following words. There was in the day of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So both Zechariah and Elizabeth were born into and raised in priestly families. This will have great bearing in a few moments. Interestingly enough, we are told five descriptions of this couple. Number one, they were righteous before God. Number two, they were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Number three, they were blameless. Number four, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And number five, they were stricken in years. That's a very interesting word. I don't hear people use that word hardly ever, to be stricken. I think that indicates that they probably were not in the strongest, best of health and strength. And according to the custom, verse 9 of the priest's office, Zechariah was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying. Now that's beautiful. Priests went into the temple to burn the incense, and the people were without praying. And suddenly, verse 11, the word suddenly is not there, I put that there. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said unto him, and by the way, this is what angels always say, because people are always startled, frightened when an angel appears. And so an angel, you can always tell if whatever is in front of you is an angel, because the angel will say, fear not. And that's what the angel said. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Now this is another aspect that I want you to catch in today's message. Thy prayer is heard. What does that mean? Well, that means that Zechariah, and perhaps Zechariah and Elizabeth, had been praying for a child. Now, every year, I ask the Lord to reveal to me some aspects of the old story that I'd never seen before. And I must tell you that in all the years I've read this account of the Advent story, I don't recall reading or remembering that Zacharias was praying. All right, moving right along. For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Don't have to have a test in the doctor's office. He's already been identified. He will be a son. And his name is to be called John. And then he goes on to talk a little bit about this child, verse 14. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. So this is a very, very unusual child. And verse 15 says, he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now, if you remember last week's message from Malachi, 400 years before this angel appeared, the angel revealed, or the Holy Spirit revealed to Malachi, that this child would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. And furthermore, back 400 years earlier, it was revealed, and now it is spoken, he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to do what last week we heard was told 400 years prophetically, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, I read this every year. Every year. Sometimes I read it more than once. But I don't recall, prior to this week, putting together that 400 years before this all took place, the Holy Spirit had revealed to the prophet this was exactly what was going to happen. Therefore, it struck me. We would do well as Christians in this coming new year to focus more and more of our reading, scripture, meditation on the words of prophecy. Because whether we understand this or recognize this, every word of prophecy shall be fulfilled. This one took 400 years. I don't know, and you don't know, how long it will require for all the words of all the prophets to be fulfilled. But let us be clear. The word of the Lord shall be accomplished. That was part of the prophetic word that Susan read this morning, the word of the Lord. And it goes on to say in verse 18, Zechariah said unto the angel, "Oh, whereby shall I know this?" What's he saying? Well, he's saying, I'd like some evidence. I'd like some proof. How will I know this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. So what is Zechariah doing here? He's doing what most people would do. He's listening to the word, but he's considering the word in light of his own position, circumstances, and experience. I'm sure we all do that. Rather than listen carefully, faithfully to what the angel is saying, Zechariah is doing some mental calculation. I'm old. These things don't happen. I need some proof. I'm going to have to go home and tell my wife about this. I don't know if he said that or not, but he might have been thinking it. And that is so human. But I want you to notice the answer of the angel. Verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him, now you got to get the real voice here. I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. I don't think that the angel was congratulating Zechariah on his response. That is a powerful, powerful rebuke. Zechariah is talking to the archangel of Almighty God, none other than Gabriel. And so Gabriel says, fellow, I want you to know who I am. I am Gabriel. I stand before the Lord, and I have come to you. Wow. That's pretty direct from headquarters. And then, of course, he goes on to say, you shall be dumb. That means you won't be able to speak. And the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in that season. I don't believe the Lord rebukes us every time we challenge him at the accuracy of his word. But I often wonder what his response really is when he gives us various words, promises, prophetic utterances. And if we don't outright challenge them, maybe we just ignore them. Just ignore them. I just this week, as I have walked in these scriptures this week, I have just gained a whole new respect for what my response needs to be when the Lord God speaks. He doesn't waste words. He doesn't say things that are not true or that are supposed or maybe or could be. The Lord God speaks truth, and he expects a response of faith and trust. And I want you to go over now to verse 22. When he came out, he could not speak. That's what Gabriel said. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Maybe the people had more insight than Zechariah had. I don't know. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministrations were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Now, the deal here is there were teams of priests who came to the city of Jerusalem to minister in the temple. There were teams. And when their time of service was over, however long that was, they would go back to the village where they lived, and a new set of teams would come and continue on the visitation. But I want you to look at what happens at verse 24 and 5. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now, that word might not strike us too powerfully. I don't know. But if you live back in these times, or if you've read anything about the people of these eras past, a woman's recognition and a woman's real value, blessing, if you will, was in her giving birth to children, many children, who would carry on the holy seed of the children, covenant children of Almighty God. And therefore, a woman who was barren was often ignored, shunned, ridiculed. I don't know if it went any further than that, but you can tell that Elizabeth had lived a life of real disappointment and in some sense despair. And because we're told that she and Zechariah were stricken in age, she wasn't 35 years old. And so she lived all this time, no children, no heritage, none to carry on the name of Elizabeth and Zechariah. And for her and for Zechariah, that was a label, if you will, of disappointment, and maybe even to some extent to shame. Now, a couple of thoughts for you here today. Next Sunday, we're going to look a little more deeply, a little more closely, into the message that the same angel Gabriel brought to the Virgin Mary. Response very, very, very different. But today, I want you to see that this angel Gabriel, the Lord didn't send a secondary or a third or fourth level angel. This is the most important news, probably, that had ever been given to the earth. So Father God sent angel number one, Gabriel, to give this powerful, revolutionary, prophetic message to those at that time and literally to the world. But it's interesting that Zechariah, who was a priest, had absolutely nothing within himself to be able to receive this word. If anyone should have been able to receive and believe a word from the Lord, you would think it'd be a clergyman, a minister, a priest, a rabbi, or a whatever, a servant of God. But here was a servant of God who couldn't assimilate the word of faith that God had given. While next week, we'll hear the response of a simple, no doubt teenage girl, who is not trained in theology, in law, in the scriptures, who was able to receive in faith the word of the Lord. And also, I want you to pick up this Sunday a word that just really rang out to me. If we read on a little farther in Luke chapter 1, we find that after the angel visited Mary, she arose and went to the hill country of Judah where Elizabeth lived, entered the house of Zechariah and saluted, that means said hello, verse 40, to Elizabeth. Now, look, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't recall ever seeing that before. I recall getting kind of caught up with the fact that when Mary and Elizabeth met, that the baby unborn in the womb leaped for joy. I remember that, because that's a powerful witness to the life-giving message that trashes the whole idea of abortion. That child in that womb is a child alive and able to respond. But I missed the last part. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to see what happens differently to a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's what happens. Elizabeth, verse 42, spoke with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." How'd she know that? How'd she know that? Well, she knew a lot more than that. "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" How did she know that the baby in the Virgin Mary was going to be the Messiah, the Lord of all heaven and earth? How'd she know that? Because she had just received the Holy Spirit. Boy, I never saw this before, but if there is one reason why every single Christian ought to be praying fervently to receive the Holy Spirit, because then and only then are our spiritual eyes, ears, and understanding opened to truly understand, receive, believe, and act upon the truth of the Word of God. If you came here for no other reason and heard nothing else today except this principle, it was worth your time to be here. She says in verse 44, "As soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in mine ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." Now, I've heard mothers say, mothers with children, say how they felt a baby moving inside the womb, and sometimes like kicking. But can you imagine the power of the revelation? That she not only felt the baby kicking, but she was able to identify the cause of the baby's movement. The baby was filled with joy. How in the world does a 5-month-old baby in the womb experience joy, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit? Because of the plan and the work and the promise and the truth of Almighty God. Now, I believe this is an insight into pregnancy that is more powerful than much of what I have read and considered and thought about for a long time. Elizabeth was able prophetically to be able not only to know that this baby within Mary was going to be a baby alive, but was going to be the Messiah, and that the reaction of her child within her at the greeting was a gift of joy of the Holy Spirit. And she says in verse 45, "Blessed is she that believed." Now, against all that we've talked about this morning, isn't that amazing? Elizabeth knew that Zechariah didn't catch this. He didn't believe this. And maybe she didn't believe it at first either. So she says, "Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told of her." I believe the Lord revealed a principle to me that I've never really thought about before today. I think a lot about how our world is in such desperate, desperate need of a message of hope. There's so many words of despair, discouragement, defeat, death, just goes on and on and on. Our world needs to hear this message of hope. But why is it that there's so little hope that is expressed? I believe this week the Lord showed me a powerful principle of Scripture. People of hope, first of all, have to be people of faith. If you're going to be a person who speaks words of hope, it's because, first of all, you are a person of faith. You are a person who believes in the Lord, who trusts in the Lord, who acts upon the Word of God, whose life is ordered and rendered by following the Word of the Lord. And as we treasure in our hearts the Word, the living Word of the living God, that destroys within us despair, discouragement, defeat. And it replaces it with the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of hope and joy. So we need to have a little time of examination in light of today's message. Am I a person of hope? Am I a person that knows that he knows that he knows that he knows that the Lord has the final word, that he brings the victory in which we shall share? If I do, does this color my attitude, my conversation, my thoughts, my decisions? Am I seen as a person of hope that can bring hope and encouragement to others? If I am a person of faith, deep, deep faith, I will be a person of hope. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your faithful, true word. What an inspiration it is, Father, to dig deeply into your scriptures, to listen to your voice speak to us through the Holy Bible, to know that these are not just black words on white pages, but these are living words spoken by the eternal Spirit of the living God to our spirits. And we thank you and bless you for this powerful word. May it bear fruit, O God, in each of our hearts and lives this day. And the people of the Lord said, Amen. Now, if you would desire prayer for any situation, maybe you've never asked before today, personally, and in the presence of another individual, to receive the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. This would be a powerful day to do that. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and with joy, let us serve the Lord.